real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Happy birthday to you.
So funny. You snuck that in on me, Joe.
Yes, I did.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It
to
is
you.
My birthday tomorrow. You're so funny. I mentioned it.
And happy birthday to my daughter. She turned 21 yesterday, and we had a great time out at River Rock. And
awesome.
Had the family over last night for dinner, so we had a really good day.
Oh, good.
Although I'm still trying to get a grasp on things that she is actually 21 now, but that's the way life
now
goes.
Did you have a drink with her?
Oh yes, we did, and it was a fun time. And actually, my son and daughter even brought home some money, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, good, too. Good. Yeah. Well, happy birthday to her and to me. No, tomorrow's my birthday, so and I'm a little older than 21.
I wasn't going to comment on that. No.
I do remember turning 21, though.
So am I. And I barely remember 21. So yeah. We can move on now.
Okay, moving on. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour here on the news in Talk of Sonoma County. We're here every Sunday morning, continuing the legacy of our late friend Mike Kelly, who made this a pretty amazing show over 30-some years. And happy to be continuing and coming back to the Real Estate Hour. He and I spent 6 years together on the show. So it's fun to be back. Unfortunate, the circumstances. And it's funny. I there's so many times where I'll have a question, a real estate question, and I go, oh, Mike would know the answer to that. And it's a tough one. Anyway, speaking of Mike Kelly, I do want to update you on the ceremony we're going to have. And it's a celebration of life more than a memorial, although we will be remembering our great friend Mike Kelly. But it's going to be April 20th. We're at the Event Center out at Sonoma Mountain Village at Sally Tomatoes. A place that'll hold at least 350 to 400 people, which is what we're expecting. And it's just going to be a great event. Doors open at 1. The program will start about 1:30, run for about an hour, and then we're going to have a little bit of light food and some music and reminiscing on April 20th. So I hope you can join us. It's basically just come on over. We're not, selling tickets. We're not open, we're not taking reservations. It's just show up, and we are expecting a crowd, so show up early. And it's going to be a great event. We'll give you, reminders as we go, and I'll have an actual, flyer that I'm going to be sending out. But anyway, we will definitely be honoring our great friend Mike Kelly on April 20th. And then I have a little bit of real estate to talk about, and then we're going to have David Guin here, City of Santa Rosa, and I'll get his huge title. Correct. Good morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And just real briefly before I go into my real estate stuff I want to talk about, David is the tell us your title, because I'm going to. So it's Assistant City Manager and
the Director of Planning and Economic Development.
Okay. Yeah. So and as I'll read kind of through your bio, and it's a huge amount of stuff that you take care of in the city. There's a lot of stuff. You have a lot of hats.
A lot of hats, but we have a big team. So it's we oversee the building, planning, engineering, economic development, rebuild, things like cannabis policy. So it's pretty varied.
It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff, and you do a great job keeping it all together. Anyway, so we will be talking. We have a lot of stuff to talk about: the permitting process, the rebuild, update, affordable housing. You want to add an auxiliary dwelling unit to your house, you want to check on permits, you want to put a fence up, and that's something that's big in Facebook right now in the news, so we'll talk about that as well. But I have today is kind of a soft opening of my my listing, because I didn't get it loaded in the MLS yet. I'm working on that this morning, but I do have it open today. It may not show up on the internet, so you've heard it here on the Real Estate Hour, and then I'll have another open house next week and broker tour and all that good stuff. But it is the listing that I talked about last week. It's 1996 Los Olivos. And that's over in the Brush Creek area, off of, you either go Chenate to Montecito to Brush Creek, come in the back way, or you go, to Los Olivos, or you go Brush Creek and then turn onto Los Olivos. This is it's close to 2,500 square feet. It's a little over a quarter acre lot. Tri-level, just a really retro, kind of cool place. Rock walls, step-down living room. It's a tri-level, has a huge, huge family room. And you know, we're going to talk about auxiliary dwelling and junior auxiliary dwelling. And this may be a good option for that because it has this huge family room that's downstairs, and it really could be somehow configured into that. And we'll talk a little bit more with David about how that would work and what the process would be, or just enjoy this huge family room as additional living space. It's a great property on the market at $840,000. It does need a little updating. It's got some very retro things going on to it, and does have a little bit of deferred maintenance that needs to be taken care of, but has new carpeting. A really sound and solid house that you could put some money into and have a really great place. So that's $840,000. I'll be there today from 1 to 4. And then Willowside Road, I've got to do a little bit more cleaning up on the property. It's kind of to the point where it's maybe not safe to be in there. So I have it all locked up. It's actually boarded because there was some problems with a tenant. So boarded up. It is a trust sale. There's a fiduciary handling that sale. But it's on an acre on the corner of Willowside and Piner Road, and just a beautiful piece of property with a house that either needs to come down or just needs to be gutted and start over, you know, walls in. And I think that's the better way to do it. You know, permit-wise, and I don't know, David, it's a county parcel, so it's a little outside of your realm. Right. But I think, from what I remember correctly, if you leave the studs and you bring, you know, the walls and redo things, it's a much easier process and less expensive process than tearing the entire house down and starting over. But it's a really interesting parcel. It has outbuildings. It has an old water tower. Just a neat property. I was out there last night, and it's just gorgeous. But the house is in pretty rough shape, and I need to do a few things to it before I can let people start wandering around. So that'll be coming up, but it's listed at $525,000. And if you have questions about it, have your realtor call me, or I will. You can call me, 799-3617. I'll tell you more about it. Anyway, so those are the two listings I have right now. I will be at Los Olivos 1 to 4. Today, so come on by and say hello. Interest rates, surprisingly, interest rates came down, and I read an interesting article about, you know, how they didn't realize what an effect the higher interest rates were going to have, and they're kind of accrediting that to the reason why we had this slump and this weird little hiccup that we had in the market at the end of last year, and the slow start to the beginning of this year. So spring interest rates are down. They're around 4, just under 4, which is you know, kind of crazy, because we were seeing them get up there, you know, inching up over 5. And everyone went, well, that's still great, you know, still good interest rates. But now they're back down under 4 in some, you know, and it does depend on your credit score, how much money you're putting down. There's a lot of variables in that. But talk to a lender or give me a call, and I'll connect you with a lender. And if you looked at the beginning of the year or end of last year and you thought the interest rates were too high for you and it kind of priced you out of the market, take another look. Go back and talk to your lender and see what you qualify for down at these lower interest rates. Okay, so we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to David Guin about all kinds of stuff to do in the city of Santa Rosa. Lots of stuff going on, and he's involved in a lot of things in the city, so it's some really good information. So stay tuned, and we will be right back. I'm Allison Norman. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour here on KSRO. Talk to you soon.
Durant with a dribble. Guarded by Tobias Harris. Pick and roll with Cousins. Durant off that screen. Bounce pass Boogie. Look out. Right hand slam for Boogie Cousins. Welcome back.
I'm DeMarcus Cousins of the Golden State Warriors. Warriors basketball on KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Good morning. We're back. It's the Real Estate Hour. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KSRO. And you can listen in at 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM, 1350 a.m., or streaming live on KSRO.com, which is a great way to listen no matter where you are in the world. You can just go to KSRO.com, go listen live, and there we are. We're also podcasts at KSRO.com. You go to events. There's a little drop-down menu. Go down and look for Ask the Expert. Click on that drop-down menu again, and it'll say Allison Norman Real Estate, and you can find us there. Listen to all of my past podcasts as well as Mike Kelly's past podcasts, which go on, you know, pretty far back in history. I don't know when they started putting the podcast on and how far back they go, but there's a lot of good information, good shows. If you remember listening to a show and you missed some information, or even today's show, right after the show, Joe goes and loads it in. Joe Pasquini, running the board, he goes and loads it into the blog, I guess it is. So you can listen and say happy.
Yeah, KSRO.com.
Right, and then you go to events.
Real estate show. It's Ask the Experts, which happens to be the first one. And if you guys miss the dates of Mike's celebration of life, I will post that in the blog today and
awesome.
All the information about it.
Good, good. Yeah, that's...
And our guests, too.
And our guests too. And our guests, speaking of our guests, so we do have David Guin here. And David is the... Assistant City Manager and Director of Planning and Economic Development for the City of Santa Rosa, and has over 17 years of experience in the public sector. In addition to the Assistant City Manager duties, Mr. Guin's responsibilities include city's planning, building, engineering, and economic development functions. He has also established ongoing process improvement implementations to expedite and enhance the development process guided by the development of the city's housing action plan, leads the development of the city's comprehensive cannabis policy and tax initiatives. He oversaw the Roseland annexation process and is developing an aggressive downtown housing initiative to encourage multifamily housing in the downtown core and support transit-oriented development and the health and economic vitality of our downtown. And we're going to talk a little bit about that because there's an upcoming event. And there's also a specific plan update that he's looking for some information on. So a lot of stuff, and is also heading the rebuild effort of the city of Santa Rosa from the 2017 Tubbs fire that destroyed approximately 3,000 homes in the city limits. So lots of stuff going on. Welcome, David, to the show. I was just tripping over all those words. But you've got a lot of stuff going on. So hang on, because there's a microphone right in your face. There we go. You've got a lot of stuff going on. So you are the assistant city manager.
Right.
And then you do a lot of other stuff in planning and development. And What's the biggest thing you have going on right now?
Right now it's housing, and that was a mouthful, and I think I do have to admit that I've got a great team behind me on that. That's a lot of people working on all those areas.
So that's a great point. Because you're not doing all this your own. It's like, oh my gosh, this guy's overwhelmed. The city can't possibly manage with all of that. But you've got a big team behind you. And you're overseeing it all.
We have some great people in the city right now and doing some amazing things. And I think everyone's just really just done a yeoman's job, I think, over this past couple years, actually, since the fire.
Yeah, we're coming up on 2.
Yeah, 2 years. And taking on the rebuild effort, but also not losing sight of what we need to do to keep moving the city forward. So it's been exciting to work with this team, and I'm looking forward to more to come. And I also wanted to acknowledge, if I could, real quickly, mm-hmm. Mike. I mean, I think, you know, he invited me on this show. Gosh, it's been a couple years, since I've been on the show. And since then, he invited me to a number of functions to talk about things. And I always appreciated his ability to just want to listen, understand, and go in the mm-hmm. nuances of what we do to help get that word out there, because nothing's as simple as a soundbite. So he understood that, and he was willing to dig into the details. And I do appreciate it about him, and we'll miss him a lot. So thank you for having me back. I'm excited to be back on here.
Yeah, and that was a big thing of Mike's, was educating the public, understanding, like you said, understanding how everything works, and educating the realtors in the community too. That was a big thing. And thank you for always coming on to talk to us. Yeah. So what's going on with the rebuild? A lot of stuff. Now my daughter lives over in Coffee Park. She did not lose her home. She's at the back end of the Tuxhorn Homes where they finally got a handle on the fire. I mean, literally the house next door almost caught on fire, and the houses across the street are gone. So, I mean, she's sad. They had to break down her fence to, to put out the fire. So she was that close to it. But so I drive through there a lot, mm-hmm. and it's went from being super depressing to being really inspiring now. Mm-hmm. And there is so much going on, and every time I drive in, I go, oh my gosh, that house is going up, and there's another one, and it's great to see.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I think if you drive through there, or if you've seen some of the pictures recently that have come mm-hmm. out, I think there's some photos that have been posted around the internet, but also I think in the Press Democrat last week, about the amount of activity going on, especially in Coffee Park, mm-hmm. where about 70% of Coffee Park is moving forward. And so if you drive through there now, it's almost hard to tell where the fire was and where it stopped. And it's an enormous construction effort. So when you think about a typical housing project, you shut down a block and you put up fences and grade the entire site and put all the utilities in first and then put all the houses up. And you do it in some sort of order. Well, we have a situation going on where we have over 1,000 houses being constructed at once.
Wow.
Through more than 100 different contractors with different time schedules, with different footprints and different issues and different subs. So the dance that's going on out there is fairly incredible. We've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah. And I think another big difference I've heard is that there are homeowners, property owners overseeing this, where in a usual, a subdivision build, it's not.
Exactly.
And we all like our house to be just the way we want it. And so I'm sure there's a lot of, people standing there going, oh, wait a minute, you put that out of place over there. Can you fix that? Or, there's a lot of overseeing by the homeowner, which is not typical.
Correct.
In a big build like this.
Right. Yeah. Usually a developer builds a house and then somebody goes and buys that house after it's built. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And here, everyone's vested in their home, which is really important. I think people are trying to get back home and to understand how do they want their house to look. And the other interesting piece is you have homes that, to your friend's point, is that are still standing, and they're sitting next to a massive construction site. So the impacts of that construction and how that impedes on the quality of life for others that are still, homes are still there, that's something we're working through, and looking at timing of when concrete pours are done and working with contractors to make sure that they're safe as they're flying down the street with their forklifts and so those are the things that we're dealing with today is just the ramifications of a construction project of this magnitude.
Right. And like you said, in the middle of a neighborhood and a pre-existing neighborhood, and there are people that have moved into the new buildings as well, right?
Right.
How many have actually been finaled and moved into?
So 211 have been finaled today. I looked at the numbers this morning. There's a lot coming online. So we have over 1,000 under construction as of today that are actually going on right out there right now. About 300 that are in the permit process, and about another 200 to 300 that are ready to go. Ready to start construction. And so what we see is almost a backlog of plans that have been approved through our shop, but they're just waiting to be picked up because there's so much activity going on and they have to wait for their subs, wait for the timing to get those moving. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those 1,000 are going to be turned into, they're going to be occupied pretty quickly. So pretty soon over the next few months, we'll start to see an enormous number of homes being occupied, and that just adds to the complexities of this construction effort.
Right, the continuing of building there. Right. Yeah. And so, and we're not just talking about Coffee Park, and that's the one most often talked about, but that's also Larkfield over there.
Larkfield and Fountain Grove.
And Fountain Grove. And then what about Bennett Valley up there? Is that also City of Santa Rosa?
Yeah. Right? So, so Larkfield's actually in the county. So the
It's Larkfield County. Okay.
Yeah. So we have Coffee Park, Fountain Grove, and then just south of Fountain Grove in the bottom Bennett Valley area.
Right. Okay.
In the city we had about 3,000 homes that were lost, and right now we have about 1,700 that are in the process.
Oh, okay.
So you see that number that are working through either under construction, completed, or have been approved. We've noticed we are also tracking the sales. So some homes are selling. I think the Press Democrat did an article on this as well. How many homes are sold per month? And what we're seeing is, right now, since the fire, we've seen about 400 of those homes change hands through selling. So those are the homes that we're not quite sure, is somebody going to rebuild, or somebody else going to rebuild that home? Mm-hmm. But then there's another batch of between 1,700 and 400, the remaining 600 to 700. We're looking at trying to understand what are the barriers for those individuals to rebuild. Is there something that's holding them back? Is there something that's that we need to do as a local government to help them move forward in the process? So that's something we're working on over the next few months.
Okay. So when you say homes, you're talking about lots that, for the most part, lots that have been sold and now somebody's going to rebuild.
Correct.
Because, we're seeing a lot of, people just said, either it's too daunting of a process or they're just done,
Especially depending on where somebody is in their life in terms of, is this something they want to take on, or can they find another home somewhere else, hopefully in Santa Rosa, to stay in the area.
Right. What is the... I think we've got a couple minutes before we go to break. The resilient zoning, what is it?
Resilient city zoning. So one of the things we did right after the fire is we created a boundary around the area that lost homes. And what that did was allowed us to create special zoning and rules and expedited permitting to get those homes built, rebuilt. So that's been put in place, and a lot of the policies we put in place are 5-year policies to help expedite the process. So things like we're turning first plan checks around in about 5 days for a home.
Nice.
That's a simple floor plan that people are replacing. We have a number of stormwater inspections. We're seeing over, I think the number we looked at is about 6,000 staff hours per month we're seeing to turn these plans around. So there's a lot of focus, dedicated plan check, dedicated inspection, dedicated counter service for those that have lost their home.
Okay, for the people in those zones.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, special rules and special policies just to make sure that we can move those homes forward, because it is a different situation. It's not normal. We've had to rewrite the rule book for this whole rebuild process. Some of the tenets that we've put in place is our staff is geared towards getting to yes. How do we get to a yes quickly? How do we find an answer for somebody? Mm-hmm. The other thing that we've been focusing on in the rebuild is try it. Try something. If it doesn't work, fix it, and then we will modify it and get back and repeat that process.
Okay. Yeah. So. A lot of stuff going on. So we're going to take a break, and we'll talk some more about affordable housing, a lot of things that you're involved in, the downtown specific plan, putting an affordable or an auxiliary dwelling unit in, how to check permits at the city, all kinds of stuff we're going to talk about when we come back. This is the Real Estate Hour. I'm Allison Norman here with David Guin in City of Santa Rosa.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Democrats continuing calls to see Robert Mueller's full Russia investigation report, as well as the underlying evidence, as lawmakers await Attorney General William Barr's summary report. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says he's going to urge Republicans to also ask for Mueller's report to be released.
If they're so confident that the report is going to exonerate them, they should fight to make that report and the underlying evidence public and available to Congress. But I suspect that we'll find those words of transparency to prove hollow.
Republican Congressman Jim Jordan, meanwhile, says Democrats defended Mueller throughout his investigation and they need to stand by Mueller's conclusions. Boeing tells ABC News that it's working, quote, diligently and in close cooperation with the FAA as it continues to prepare a software update for its 737 MAX planes, which have remained grounded. Dubai's media office denies that R. Kelly has been planning concerts in the UAE. He recently asked a judge to allow him to travel there so he could perform. I'm Mark Remillard,
KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Rain coming a bit later tonight, but today a bit cloudy at 64, 58 along the coast, and then some rain tonight, low 47, 46 on the shores. About a quarter of an inch still for Monday morning, high 57 though in the day. Tuesday, cloudy with evening showers at 59. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It's Allison Norman here on Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning on the news and talk of Sonoma County, KSRO. And here with David Guen, City of Santa Rosa Assistant City Manager. And gosh, I get it wrong every time. Planning.
Planning and economic development.
And economic development. Yeah. Sorry. And so, what exactly does that mean? So planning? You oversee all of the planning, building, all of that, the permitting process. And then economic development. We'll talk a little bit towards the end of the show. There's some a slogan and an event coming up for promoting City of Santa Rosa. So you're kind of involved in that as well.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But let's finish up because we were talking. Well, first I had somebody ask. So there are two David. There's a Guen and a
Guine.
Guine, yeah. Both having to do with housing in the city of Santa Rosa. Two different people.
Correct.
Yes. So you oversee the assistant city manager. So what does an assistant city manager do?
Kind of the other duties is assigned, is what we like to call it. So fill in for the city manager when he's not
right.
there.
Okay.
Other more citywide efforts.
Okay.
David Guine, who is the director of Housing and Community Services, which focuses on the homelessness efforts of the city, Section 8, a lot of the affordability contracts.
Right.
So they're dealing with the Housing Authority for low-income housing programs.
Okay.
And then on our side, we're in the production, development, permitting, planning, economic development.
Okay.
Side of the show.
Yeah. So two different people, two different Davids. Yeah, we've had like three different Davids too on the show this month.
Yeah, we're good at sharing each other's emails, so we'll get it to the right place.
Oh yeah, I think this was for you, buddy. Now we've got that resolved. That was a question that came up. So let's talk about finish up on the rebuild, and you had some information about a grant that was received.
Yeah, the city received a $1.2 million grant from HUD. the state housing agency, to help close the gap for low-income individuals that have lost their homes. And so what it's called is it's the Santa Rosa Cal Home Disaster Assistance Loan Program. And what it does is it allows up to $100,000 for individuals that lost their home that earn 80% or less adjusted median income. And so for reference purposes, the current AMI is for a family of four is about $84,000 a year. So if that's what your annual salary is and you've lost a home, this grant is available to you. And the grants are available by application. I'm sorry, the loan is available by application, and that they're due April 15th. And if anybody's interested, they can go to the website. It's srcity.org/rebuildingfinancialassistance. You could also just go to the city's main page and find it there as well. But that is available to people. And again, it's really to help close that gap for those who lost their homes that are on the lower income side of things, to try to figure out how to get people back into their homes as quickly as possible.
Okay. So somebody that lost, that owned a home, mm-hmm. it burned down in the fire. Their insurance is there, but it's not enough to cover the rebuild.
Right.
And that mm-hmm. could be why some of those houses we talked about or some of those lots are sitting there, you know, and you're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on and how can we help. So this is one way.
One way.
You can help.
Yeah.
So insurance doesn't cover quite a bit. This is a gap to fill so they can get their house built.
Right. Yeah. Up to $100,000. So if depending on what that gap is, mm-hmm. That's hopefully that'll help get people to that point.
Yeah, yeah, good. That's good. And so they apply at the city, mm-hmm. go to the city website, go to the Real Estate Hour blog, and I'll post some information about that as well. Great. Well, that's good to see. So a couple of things to do with affordable housing. So you do a lot with affordable housing, and I know you were on the Housing Summit that mm-hmm. was the Economic Development Board put on, wasn't
right.
it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you doing for affordable housing? It's a big issue here in Santa Rosa.
It is a big issue, and it's something that when we build housing, we want to build housing for all income levels, so we need housing at higher rents, but we need also affordable housing. And we have to be very conscious and deliberate about creating affordable housing. So it's not going to just happen on its own. It does take efforts. It does take concessions from the city and from everyone involved. It also takes money. So it takes mm-hmm. Money to bring to the table to help make that happen. So we're doing a couple things. One is we're looking at our policies. How can we change our policies to encourage and reduce the barriers and lower the cost to developing housing that includes affordable housing? Mm-hmm. So, for example, if somebody was to develop a housing project, a multifamily project that has affordable housing, there's a lot of incentives available to you. You can add more density. You can reduce your fees. You can add reduce parking requirements, other things that typically cost money to a developer or to develop that project. And so we're looking for every angle we can to be very deliberate about encouraging, incentivizing, and making sure that people do build affordable housing as part of projects. Because the last thing we want is to have housing projects that are fully just market rate and ignore even the missing middle and those that mm-hmm. need help to live in those areas. So we need our community to stay together. We need to create a community that is affordable by everybody that lives here. So that's one effort. And one example of this is just yesterday, Habitat had a grand opening for three homes that were brought to over there on Steel Lane that were brought online. And three families were given keys yesterday. And that property was one house on a large property. And we worked with Habitat to change how we do look at those properties and rezone it and actually break that up into four different parcels mm-hmm. To allow four homes ultimately on that one site to facilitate Habitat to generate more housing. So rather than just having one house come out of Habitat on that site, we turned it into four. And so those are things that we want to be more creative about, again, more deliberate about. How do we work with partners such as Habitat and other affordable housing developers to find creative solutions? And part of that's going to be downtown. So
exciting stuff going on downtown. So you're working mm-hmm. on, that's a good lead in to that. And so you have an update of the specific plan for downtown?
We do. So one of the big efforts we have right now is to bring housing to our downtown core. And so there's mm-hmm. a couple reasons for that. One is to bring housing where we think it's appropriate, which is in near the downtown, near transit. Hopefully try to encourage people to look at other modes of transportation, walking, using public mm-hmm. transportation, the smart train, and others. And those those systems are there in place. We just need to bring people to those systems and have people live in the downtown that can utilize those systems. The other thing, what it does is it helps the economic vitality of the city. So the property tax and sales tax and people living in the downtown help support those businesses. Those taxes come back to the city that then go to provide services such as homeless services, police, fire, all the other things that the public expects to have from a city. So it's really important from a financial stability standpoint to bring concentrate our housing in a downtown setting. So as we do that, we're looking to look at all the rules about what it takes to develop downtown. And part of that is through this specific plan update that we're embarking on. It started about a month ago, and we're going to be finished by July. So it's a fairly quick effort. And what that does is it takes a look at the downtown, identifies how do we want the downtown to look, how tall do we want the buildings to be, what type of parking, what other assets do we want to have in our downtown. Put that plan into place, do an environmental review on that plan. So once that plan's complete in the July timeframe, a developer can come in and say, I want to build an X-story building downtown with housing that has, you know, this number of parking. And if it's consistent with that plan, they can put that in place tomorrow and start going. So it really speeds up the process. It does all the pre-planning, evaluation, public input in the front side. So right. that we don't hold up each project individually.
Each one doesn't have to be reviewed because it's within the parameters.
Exactly. So it's a really important process. And we actually have a plan in place right now. So technically, a developer can come in and build a 10-story building downtown tomorrow. That plan was put into 10 years ago based on the same process. But what we're finding is that plan has some inherent barriers to it that we want to address, such as height. We were looking at potentially going higher than 10 stories. We're looking at 12, 14, 16. What does that mean to allow that to happen to make it financially feasible? But also to bring more density to our downtown and see what that means. So that's the discussion we're having over the next few months, and we need people to participate in that. We're asking for everyone's input, and we do have a website dedicated to this effort, which is plandowntownsr.com. So plandowntownsr.com, one word. There's a schedule on there. There's ways to get ways to participate, ways to provide input, and we're going to be looking for as many people to provide input as possible through public meetings, through pop-up events. You'll see us around town. We're going to go to anywhere that anybody will talk to us to get input. So if you have ideas, feel free to reach out to us, and we'll show up to your event.
Oh, good. And so it's Plan Downtown
SR.
SR. I was taking notes and I forgot. So .com. What kind of pushback are you getting pushback on the height? At all, because we're not a very tall city, but
not so much. I think, you know, we are the fifth largest city in the Bay Area, so we're 180,000 people. It's time for us to grow up and mm-hmm. be the city that we are. And I don't think we haven't gotten much pushback from the height. I think people understand the need for density in the downtown. How it's built. I think that's really important. One of the things we have to be really careful about and cognizant about as we move forward is how does the downtown interface with the historic districts? So
right,
if you look at our downtown,
pretty close to downtown.
Right. Yeah, we have multiple historic districts around downtown. And so there is a way to deal with that. I think there's a way to have a transition from the historic district to the downtown, but then having the core really be the core center where we can see some height and we can see some density. And those, you know, right now, a 12, 14 story building is fairly reasonable for a city our size. That's pretty typical for a city our size. And it's just a matter of getting one going to show that it's possible. And I think we're getting a lot of support from the business community, a lot of support from the environmental groups, from the public at large. A lot of the businesses around here are asking us to generate housing downtown for their employees. So we have large employers such as Keysight and Medtronic and some of the banks and the hospitals around here that are trying to attract and retain their employees and grow their businesses. But they're having a hard time because they don't have the type of housing that their employees want to live in, which is a downtown setting where they can walk down to a restaurant.
Kind of an urban setting, which we don't have.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it's something that's very desirable. And so I think that for the health of our local businesses and to allow them to grow and expand. And even we're getting feedback from the Sonoma State and the junior college. They're also looking for that type of housing for their teachers and for their employees. So there's a big demand for it. And so I think that push is allowing everybody to help move this forward, the employers, the city, funders, developers, everybody coming together to try to figure out how we can make this happen in the downtown.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing the downtown I think is lacking, and maybe you're looking into this, is like a grocery store. Are you looking into adding a grocery store? Because that's an important part. I have a client right now who's looking very specifically for a walkable location. He's out in Oakmont. He would like to move to Werther. He can walk to the grocery store. He can, you know, take the bus and go to the city, or, you know, and he's not getting that where he is now. And there's very limited areas that he can look.
Yeah, so, you hit it on the head. Those are the two populations we're hearing about. One are the, you know, newer employees coming to the market that people are trying to attract. But we're also hearing those that want to retire out of their larger home and move into a walkable area. So we're hearing that a lot. And one of the things that we are focusing on are what are the amenities that we need to have downtown to help support the housing that we're talking about bringing downtown. So you touched on it. Grocery stores is a key one. Cleaners, daycare, you know, all the drugstores, all these type of things are needed to help support a downtown environment. And so we're in conversations with various grocery stores and businesses. We'll be talking to representatives from Simon, looking at the possibilities of with Sears going out of business and that spot opening up. And you know, as we start to see some of these sites develop, we'll be working with those developers and amenities and services to try to help pair them together to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that we do have to have those services in place create that walkability, create that walking environment, so somebody doesn't have to hop in their car.
Right. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, all of this work you're doing and buildings you're putting in, nobody's going to want to live there if there's no amenities. So I think that's an important piece. So good. Looking for input at plandowntownsr.com.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. We're going to take a break and then we'll come back and talk more about permits and auxiliary dwelling units, fences, all kinds of fun stuff. And Santa Rosa City slogan, which is out there in the middle of everything. Right?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So we'll be right back with David Guen, City of Santa Rosa.
Chris Smith from the Press Democrat.
I guess there are four mannequins, and then there's a head on the table. They're sitting on a wicker table, and they're not dressed.
Live and local, Steve Jackson on The Drive, afternoons on KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Larkfield hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It's the Real Estate Hour. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning here on KSRO. And we are talking with David Guen today. And learning all about what's happening in the city of Santa Rosa. And a lot of great, I think the downtown plan is going to be really key in bringing Santa Rosa into the 21st century, I think we really need. And that ties in with the affordable housing and senior housing and all kinds of stuff. The other piece I wanted to talk about was a couple of things, and we'll try and fit it in, but was auxiliary dwelling units, or ADU, and then there's a junior auxiliary dwelling unit. And the reason ADU is easier to say is it's hard to say auxiliary dwelling unit. But some loosening rules in the city and county, and I think state overall, too. And, you know, so what does a person need to do to add another unit to a property or to maybe legalize one that was put in maybe not legally? Mm-hmm. What is the process of that?
Yeah, so the city and the county put in ADU policies recently, and what it did is a couple things. One, there's a reduction in parking requirements. There's some setback items that are in there. And the big one that we found was fees. Fees were something that we heard loud and clear from the public that were a barrier to developing these second units. And so we lowered the fees dramatically. And basically, if you create a second unit, an ADU that's 750 square feet or less, we eliminated the impact fees. So that's a pretty substantial drop. So a typical 750 square foot ADU used to be about $22,000 in fees. That went down to $4,000.
Oh my gosh, that's huge.
Yeah, pretty dramatic drop in fees. And in recognition of the fact that it's important to get those units built, they're an important part of the housing solution. And we've seen a dramatic reaction to that from the public. For the past 10 years, we've seen an average of 3 to 5 ADU permits pulled in the city per year. And last year, after we put this policy into place and reduced the fees, we saw 118 come in. So dramatic change in the interest and movement on second units, which is really good to see. And so we're seeing that both citywide, but we're also seeing it as part of the rebuild. So some of the people that are rebuilding are utilizing some of these policies to add a second unit over their garage.
Yeah, I've noticed that. You see them popping up. You're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so those really help, and I think those policies help. And so we're constantly trying to tweak and modify these ADU policies to help make sure that they move forward and allow them to move forward.
Yeah.
The other one is the JDU, which is you mentioned.
Right, I had asked you a little bit about that, and I didn't realize. So I thought a junior auxiliary dwelling unit was just a separate unit within the same wall. But there's some other parameters to that.
Yeah, so a JDU, a junior ADU, is a... it's basically a maximum of 500 square feet. It's in the home, existing home. So basically, if you have a home or space in your house, I think you alluded to one earlier.
The listing I have with the large family room.
Large family room. So technically, you can have that set up to where you have a cooking area in there. You can have a shared bathroom in the house. So that's allowed.
And that was what I thought was really interesting, because my thought has always been, well, we just need to figure out where to put a bathroom.
Right.
You know, to make it an additional unit. But you don't. Junior.
That's interesting. So you don't have to have a second bathroom, but you could have a second entrance. You should have a second entrance to that unit, and you don't have to provide additional parking for that unit. Is the way it's set up. So it's a lot more accessible to put in a JDU if you already have an existing structure in place and you have space in your house to do that.
Does that include like a garage conversion?
Garage conversion is slightly different. A garage conversion is more like an ADU. It's an ADU creating an ADU. Because we see that a lot of people that are looking at garage conversions, and there's actually individuals out there that are looking at trying to standardize that and help people show people how accessible creating an ADU in a garage would be. That's something that hopefully we'll see more of that come out. So we're looking at the first step for us was to get the policies in place, get them set up, and now we're looking at how do we do outreach and partner with other organizations that are helping people. Show what that looks like, maybe some floor plans, some standardized approaches to creating an ADU. And we're going to be taking some of the things we learned for the rebuild process, the expedited permitting and the pre-approval of plans to get things through quickly. We're looking at taking that process and applying that to second units to try to move them through the system very quickly. Our chief building official has been involved in that, and he's looking at creative ways to move ADUs forward. So there's a lot of stuff going on the ADU side, and it's exciting to see the interest and
yeah, I think it's great because it ties in with that affordable housing, adding more housing. I think the best way to get housing more affordable is to add more housing, and so we don't have a shortage. So good stuff. So before we run out of time, two things I want to talk about. One, real quick, let's touch on the fencing issue. So there's this thing that came out in Facebook in here in Santa Rosa, a guy who put a fence up, a neighbor complained, city came out, said that your fence is too tall, you got to cut it shorter. And this big, huge, I mean, it actually showed up in Australia in a news thing. Yeah. So, I mean, it went all over the place. But there's a reason behind these ordinances. And so you want to kind of touch on that. Why can you not build a fence along a sidewalk on a corner, you know, like the side of your house?
Right. So fences, there's two types of fences. One, you can build a fence in your backyard up to 6 feet on along the property line.
Right.
If you're on the side to the street and on the front of your house, there's a setback that is part of your house. So anything inside that setback, the fence has to be three feet or you have to step it back. Mm-hmm. And the reason for having the lower fence on the corner is for line of sight. So especially this applies to neighborhoods. So when you're putting a fence up in a neighborhood and you bring a 6 foot tall fence right to the corner, what happens is it makes it very dangerous for pedestrians and cars turning corners. So yeah. That's in our zoning code. It's pretty standard. It's been yeah. there for a long time.
It's also in the CC&Rs of the neighborhood when you right. buy your house.
Yeah.
It's important. There. It yeah. does say that. And there are times when it's been there for years and somebody, mm-hmm. You know, will buy a house. And I have that conversation with buyers all the time is that, you know, just because this fence is here or this, you know, ADU is mm-hmm. here or the, you know, something is right up against the back fence that's maybe in a setback or an easement, just because it's been there for years does not mean it's okay. Doesn't mean that a neighbor's going to say, you know, all it takes is one neighbor. Mm-hmm. That doesn't like you or you do something, your dog barks and they go, oh, I'm going to complain about your right. fence. You know, right. so that's all it takes. And then the city has to come out. You're obligated to come out right. and set it straight. I mean, it's rules and it is. So that's a big disclosure that I give my buyers as well, is that just because this is here doesn't mean it's okay. And you may have a cost down the line where you're going to be fixing that.
Right. Yeah. If it's in the zoning code, it's in the code. And we do get a complaint. We have to respond. So that's the code enforcement isn't out there looking for problems.
Right.
They're responding to the public. Right.
Yeah. So you're not out there with your clipboard going, that's not okay.
You definitely don't have the
you don't have time. For that. So. Yeah. Okay. So, good. Well, now we've set that straight. So really, if you have questions, if you're buying a house, check with the city. Is this okay to have this here? Yeah. And if not, then you're probably going to be talking to the seller and maybe figuring out if there's a cost to fix it. Or some people just take it on like it is and hope that they don't right. ever get caught.
And we'd be happy to walk through it with you, too. So if you do have questions, yeah, we can talk through the scenarios and different options you have. And there's different ways to work through things. It just helps to go through the process to make sure that
and do it right,
safe.
Make yeah. it right. Yeah. So before we run out of time, tell me about this slogan, the City of Santa Rosa, out there in the middle of everything. So it's yep. kind of a cool slogan. Yeah, so where did it come from? What's the kind of meaning and what's going on? There's an event coming up too.
Yeah. So this is our local pride and visitor campaign to help show off what Santa Rosa has to offer to locals that don't. You might not know, but also the world at large. We have an Out There Expo coming up on April 13th from 1 to 7. Go to srcity.org. It's outtheresr.org.com. Outtheresr.com.
Okay.
And we'll put that on. I'll give it to you as well.
Yeah, I'll put that on the blog.
But it's a great resource for local artists, local music, local food. It's going to be an incredible event. We did one last year, and it was extremely popular over across the street from the Press Democrat. And the thought is we're going to have these pop-up events that show off local artists, local music, local food, mm-hmm. talent, different types of talent that we have in the community. And it's pretty amazing what we have in this community. And I think it's something that the point of this is to show that off and be proud about what we have and what's created here.
Proud of our city. Yeah. So it's out there.
SR.com.
Okay.
And the event is Saturday, April 13th from 1 to 7.
Okay.
And the information is on that website on where it's located. And there are different locations every time. So
it's a
secret. It'll be a really fun event. Highly recommend stopping by.
Okay. Great. Sounds good. We like those good downtown events. Awesome. Okay. Well, we're going to run out of time. So we're going to wrap it up. Don't forget to come visit me at my open house today, 1996 Los Olivos. Over in Northeast Santa Rosa. And David Guin, thanks for being here. Assistant City Manager, Director of Planning and Economic Development for the City of Santa Rosa. I had to read it because I get it wrong every time. Thank you so much for coming and
for
always sharing good information for us. And you come to the real estate, the realtor breakfasts and all kinds of stuff. So thank you for sharing your insight into the city.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour. I'm Allison Norman, and bringing you local real estate news and information. I am a realtor here in Sonoma County. Give me a call, 707-799-3617, if you're interested in selling or buying a home.
The preceding was a paid presentation.
I'm Klay Thompson.
I'm Damian Jones.
I'm Stephen Curry.
I'm Kevon Looney.
I'm Draymond Green, and this is where the Warriors play.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.